written, saith the Spirit, be holy, for I am holy. And so I say unto thee this day, be faithful, for I am faithful. Receive mercy to be faithful, saith the Lord. For it is your faithfulness that will distinguish you and separate you from the world. For the world is not faithful. Yea, saith the Spirit, they cannot be faithful. But I have given unto you my Spirit. I have given unto you my life. I have given unto you my nature. I have given unto you my word. I have given unto you my wisdom. I have given unto you my power. And by these things, saith the Spirit, you will be faithful. And therefore, be as I am. I said, be holy as I am holy. And I say unto you this day, be faithful as I am faithful. For it is written, a faithful man shall abound in blessings. For there is much, much, saith the Spirit, I have yet to reveal. There is much, much, I have yet to give. Riches and wisdom and power that has never been seen. But I am searching for a faithful people that I can trust with these great wealth, with these great resources. Oh, saith the Spirit, be faithful, for I am faithful. Today I have a landmark message, and it so happens it's coming at the end of the year, and of course we have a New Year message which we will minister to you on the New Year's Day and watch night service. This is a landmark message. It's a message that has application for all times really, but also has specific application for the time we're living in. And I've entitled it, The Person, The Presence, and The Glory of God. Everybody say, The Person, The Presence, and The Glory of God. Let us pray. Father, we enter your word with reverence. We are fully aware of the great limitations of our human mind to deliver as well as to receive your infinite wisdom that has been compressed and coded into this written word. So we're very conscious of the fact that we need help. So we ask for it. Fresh unction and anointing from heaven. Firstly upon me, that I might speak indeed as I should, as an oracle of God. Secondly upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me. Those who are here physically, those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically. So that the word will have free course, Father, to come freely, without restriction and hindrance, from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in each and every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, our emotions to become more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in more than sufficient measure to back these words, to follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery of the word. So that, Lord God, I will do it with precision. I will redeem the time and speak only what you want me to say. Bringing out of the treasure of this word, things both new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all those in agreement with that prayer, receiving each and every blessing in their individual life, said, God is three persons. To many Christians, God is very mysterious. Our knowledge of God many times is highly superficial. And we're coming to a time, we have come, I will say it like Jesus, the hour is coming and now is, where it is going to be vital for Christians to come to know God well. So God is not mysterious. And that's why he's given me this message to share, not only here but with the Universal Church. It's available on the internet for anyone who would like to take advantage of it. To come to know God. Because the scripture tells us that in the end time, that the glory of God is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. The knowledge of God is going to become, I'm going to use a word that, but I don't want to be misunderstood. It's going to become commonplace. You know, that's not irreverent. It's just the fact that people are going to come to know our God, because his glory is going to be made manifest throughout the earth. You know, and it will no longer be a strange thing, you know, for people to be talking about God. You know, in one of the prophetic scriptures, about talking about the manifestation of the glory of God, says that they will say, this is our God. We have waited for him. In other words, people who didn't know God before will come to recognize. They will say, ha, yes, that's it. This is our God. You know, and this is what we have been waiting for. We didn't know before, but now we see it, yes. Well, you know, we've waited for him. And so, for us as Christians, our preparation for this great manifestation is necessary. Is necessary, and so we need to have a clear knowledge of God ourselves. You can't give what you don't have. People are talking, and to you, even you yourself, that you're talking, God is mysterious. God, you know, you can't explain what God is like. You can't tell people with confidence and certainty, you know, that this is what God is and this is what God will do. This, if somebody says God is, I say, God cannot do that because I know him. He can't do that. This is what he will do. This is what he will not do. And that level of the knowledge of God is what I, by the help of the Holy Spirit, want to present to us, and so that we can begin to work on it individually, you know, so that we ourselves will carry the knowledge of God. We ourselves will carry the presence of God. We ourselves will carry the glory of God. And people will come to say, come and show me your God. One of the prophetic scriptures says that people will come and hold a Jew. Jew there is, you know, symbolic also of Christian. You know, the Bible says we're the Israel of God. And say, you know, we will want to know your God. Another scripture says, beautiful scripture, is in Isaiah chapter 2, one of my favorite. It says, you know, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established above all hills, and all nations will flow into it. And people will be telling each other, it's going to become common knowledge. People will say, let us go to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. You know what? They would have seen so much manifestation. So they themselves will now want to know how. So they say, let's go to the house of God. He's going to teach us his ways. I said this recently, and it certainly bears repetition, that people are not going to be coming to church just for miracles. They will get miracles, don't misunderstand me. But that's not even going to be the major thing in these days. It's going to be the wisdom of God they are coming for. Miracles will be so common. I have said this, and you will see it as it comes to pass. Miracles, spectacular miracles. Let me be very specific in a particular area. Miracles of the healing of incurable diseases, things like cancer, leukemia, all kinds of some things that we consider, you know, blind eyes opening, the lame walking, you know, I call them spectacular miracles of healings, you know, will be as common as tongues is now. See how common tongues is now. There hardly anywhere you can go now, you find someone who can speak in tongues. Now, look at the analogy, because it will give you a lot of faith. And it is this. Today, not everybody speaks in tongues. Isn't that correct? But tongues is common. Isn't it? Not everybody does it. In fact, if you look at the percentage, if you look at the percentage of the people, even in the body of Christ, that actually speak in tongues, it's not very high. But it's common. That's how it's going to be. It'll be common, but it won't be everybody. Just as it is now, it's common, but it's not everybody. So it will be. And so it is. And so for those of us who, by the mercy and the grace of God, have made the decision to know God, I bring this fundamental message. It's a foundational message, really, but it's landmark. Because when you have it, you can move forward. And then you know what you're talking about. And the doctrines of men and all kinds of things will not be moving you from the left to the right. You know, when people say there is no God, just laugh. You know, it's like somebody coming to a scientist, you know, and telling him there's no radiation, or they just laugh. It's just ignorance, you know. He hasn't got a clue, you know. Now, God is three persons. Everybody say, God is three persons. That's what God is. He's three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you scripture. Look at John chapter 1, verse 1. Scripture I've been quoting in recent times very, very, very frequently. In the beginning, I did not hear you, was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. This one verse tells us that God is more than one person. You know why? In the beginning was the Word. And then the Word was with God. It means that there are other persons that are God apart from the Word. But that same Word was God. This shows us, without ambiguity, that there is more than one person in the Godhead. Now, to know how many, we'll look at two other scriptures. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It's a fundamental scripture. This is at the beginning when God was, you know, he wrote it through Moses, you know, was introducing us to himself. He said, in the beginning, God, the Hebrew is the word Elohim, which means gods in plural. And then in verse 26, he said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. I'm just going to stop there. Let us, God, three persons, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. The Hebrew words image and likeness are slightly different. They're not the same. If you go and do an in-depth study, you will find this. That the first word image means the same shape. The second word likeness means the same internal constitution. So where man was made in the image of God. So because man has a head, God has a head. Because man has two hands, two arms, God has two arms. Because man has two legs, God has two legs. Because man has a waist, God has a waist. Because man has a chest, God has a chest. That's how God is. Man was made in the, that's why I use the word image. But he didn't stop there, so in the likeness, internally. Internally, man is also like God. So, man has a mind, a will, and emotions. God too has a mind, a will, and emotions. Everything that God is, he puts inside man. So when you see man, what are you seeing? An image of God. It takes the mysteriousness out of it. There's no mystery there. Then to nail it down, the Bible says in the mouth of 12th witnesses, let every word be established. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. There's no ambiguity here. For there are three. Now, you know, the first two scriptures just hint that there's more than one person, but it doesn't tell us how many. This one nails it down. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. It doesn't get clearer than that. It doesn't get clearer than that. God is three persons. You know, he wasn't three persons. He's not going to be three persons. He is three persons. Has always been three persons. Will always be three persons. You see, the Bible says, let me say it in a nice way. You know, when I was a child, I thought as a child, and I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away. You know, it's childish thinking that makes you think of God as one big grandfather in the sky, you know, and that God can only be one person. You hear people saying silly things like, how can God have a son? Did he have a wife? That's carnal thinking. It's the same thinking that motivated the Sadducees and said a man had seven brothers married her. The first one married her and he died. The second one too married her and he died. The third one married her and he died. He said, and all of them, only the seventh one. He said, well, okay, if you say we are going to be in heaven, we're in heaven, whose wife will she be? Jesus just looked at them. Let me say it in Yoruba. Koyeyi, you know why? You don't know the word. You know neither the scriptures nor the whole. He used power, but if you look at some other, it says the Spirit of God. You know neither the scriptures nor the Holy Ghost who illuminates the scriptures. That's a paraphrase. But that's the Spirit. He said, you know neither the letter nor the Spirit who will give life and light to the letter. That's why you're in error. That's why you don't understand God. Then he just looked at them and then just gave him a little jar. Said, in heaven, they don't marry. You're thinking carnally. You know why? They wanted to be misbehaving all over the whole place. That's why they were saying, silly people. It's like some of our people who believe that when they get to heaven, they're going to get 1,000 virgins. It's the same mentality. There's no marrying in heaven. There's no, man, trust me, there's a lot of things that are far better. Say, Pastor, how do you know? Have you been there? No. I have the revelation. To be with Christ is far better. Give the Lord a clap offering. Far better. For those, particularly young people, and this is true for all of us, for those who make a God out of sex. Is sex good? Yes. God made it? Yes. It's good for marriage? Yes. You know, but don't make a God out of it. It's not the greatest thing in the earth. It's a lie. That sex is, the God who made sex tells you that in my presence there's fullness of joy, and at my right hand there are pleasures forevermore. He says, if you get to know me very well, you get on far superior to sex. That's why there's no marriage in heaven. Give the Lord a clap offering. It's childish Christianity. That's why Paul, writing to some people, the Corinthians, even though they had the gifts of the Holy Ghost and they had power and they had tongues and they had miracles, he said, you are babies. He said, I can't talk any serious talk with you. He said, you know why? He said, you are like ordinary men. You think like ordinary human beings. Have you heard this before? I'm just a human being. Anytime you say that, you're bringing yourself down. I didn't say you're not a human being. But you are not just a human being. You're a God human being. Live at the level at which you are created. You are a human being, I know. How many people know Jesus was a human being? Jesus took upon himself a form of a human being. But he operated here as a God man. And he did not condescend. He did not come down to the level of normal human beings. He talked to them. He loved them. He ministered to them. But he never came down to their level. Hallelujah. The God kind of faith. He will be trying to encourage them to come up. You know, don't start behaving like ordinary human beings. That's what's called carnality. It's not an abuse. It's a fact. The word carnal, that's where we get carnivore. Carnivorous in the English, which means people who just eat meat and all of that. You know, it just means earthly, fleshly, sensual. A person who thinks that all that exists is flesh. So he will give his entire life for the flesh. Mommy was talking the other day about Esau, who sold his birthright for... You know what? Only the flesh was important to him. The food and the pottage was more important than his birthright. You know why? You know that his brother told him, he said, sell me your birthright. Sell me your birthright. Sell me your birthright. That one understood the implication of spiritual things. You know what the Egbon said? Egbon they knew. Egbon in our language means the senior brother. You know what he said? He looked at his brother. He said, what do I need this birthright for? And while I will die. And he was, one meal will not kill you. Shows you his mentality. Just one meal. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and a piece of pottage? And loses his birthright. Because he does not appreciate the reality of spiritual things. To him, all that is real is what he can see and taste and eat and wear. Nice to wear good clothes, though, but clothes don't make you. Nice to have a nice car, but your car is not you. Guys who have plundered government funds can buy far nicer cars than you, but they are still thieves. QED. Amen. The Bible says it is better, you know, to have integrity than to be rich and be a thief. There are some things that are more important than other things. Now, if you serve God, you will get a nice car. You know, but it is not the car that makes your personality. It is your personality that shows God's rewarding you with the car. So the car is not the thing to focus on. The thing to focus on is the God. May God have mercy on the church. May we put the things in their right perspective. Amen. You know, all these things, they don't make you. It's not the private jet that makes you. You can have a private jet. In fact, you need one if you're very busy. Because you can't afford to be wasting time going all over the whole place. So for people like me, for example, the only reason why for it would be to pray. It's true. The time you are spending in the airport and all of that, you can pray, you can finish a service here, go wherever you want to go, come back, you know, and cut into the prayer time. You can stay here, do 3 hours after, immediately after, go fly off, go to whatever you want to do, and then come back. That's the reason for it. It's not to show off. See, this is mature thinking. The other one is childish thinking. In our language, that means may God have mercy on us. Now, so God is three persons. Each person
each one of them has a term that is not often used. Some Bible commentators have used it. In particular, I know Dakes. Those of you who used to have a Dakes Bible, you know, he used this, and it was very, it helped me a lot as a young Christian. Each person of the Godhead has a spirit body. Now, it's a body, but it's not a physical body. That's why I use the word spirit body. Each person of the Godhead. Each person of God has a spirit body. Each person of God has a head, hands, fingers, legs, toes, a waist, a torso, just like us. Because we were made in their image. And Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, who knows God. So when he came down, he told us what God was like. Look at John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and look at verse 37. John chapter 5 and look at verse 37. Am I talking to anybody here? Hallelujah. And the Father himself, I didn't hear you. You see, second person is talking about what the first person and the third person are doing for him. Until you understand it, you can't even understand the plan of redemption. There is no way the plan of redemption could have been fulfilled by one person. It's not possible. And the Father himself, which has sent me. So, first person sent second person. They're all God. You have neither heard his voice. Turn to your neighbor, say, God has a voice. You know what voice means? It means he talks. There's no mystery about this thing. God talks. He not only talks, you know, he laughs. I don't know if you have read your Bible to that point. God is one of the people that has the greatest sense of humor you can ever find. If you are near God, you will be laughing. He's already cracking jokes. Roland Barthes, that I spoke about, you know, earlier on, during the Bible study, Angels of Assignment, who had a throne room experience like Paul. He was caught up to the third heavens. He had a lot of experiences, but this is one of them. There was one day God took him onto the throne of God. You know? Now, Roland Barthes left his body. Just like Paul said. He said, whether in the body or out of the body, I know not. These experiences that are in line with the word. That's why we receive them. So, you know, he left his body and God took him onto the throne room, showed him all the archives of heaven. I told you, he showed him Abraham's record. He showed him Paul's record. And inside it, Roland Barthes didn't see about Hagar. He didn't see anything about Ishmael. He said, God! He said, I don't record failure in heaven. The blood has cleansed it. It happened on earth, though. It's in the Bible. But in heaven, it's been completely deleted. What is left in the heavenly record is the good that you did. The bad that you did is obliterated. It will remove from your reward, but the details are not kept. So that forever you don't have to think about it again. They have been poured into the sea of forgetfulness. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Completely. That's why you can stand before God without condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Your sins have been blotted out. It has not been covered. It has not just been forgiven. It has been remitted. These are things we need to understand. This is righteousness 101. It's basic, fundamental Christianity, which sadly many Christians don't know. Now, sin will take away from your reward. Are you listening to me? But the details will not be written. It'll be in the heavenly record. The earthly record is there, the word of God. But the heavenly record is blotted out. remember, sins and iniquity, will I remember? No. That's, you know, Roland Bog. God told him. He said, Roland was, he was, he's a traditional Pentecostal guy. He couldn't understand it. He said, God, that's against my theology. He said, your theology needs a lot of upending. The man started laughing. So this is the joke. They were now coming back to the earth, you know, for Roland to enter his body. Do you understand? So Roland's, he was in his study, and his body was still there. So his spirit was coming back to his body. So he was bald. So God said, see, you're losing quite a little bit of hair. That's God for you. That's God for you. Just cracked a joke for him. Say, look at your back of your head. God is that kind of person. Very nice, very real, very, 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 very faithful. He's, you know, God's not this kind of, you know, he's not religious at all. At all! Unless you don't know him. You know, religious people think they know God, they don't know God. That's why when God came to the earth, they didn't recognize him. He didn't fit any religious picture. You know, Jesus was a hippie. Look how they are looking at me. Nobody said amen. Amen. You say amen. See, you know, pastor. How hippie. He was a Nazarene. He had long hair. He didn't cut it because they weren't supposed to cut it. Had really long hair. And you know, Jesus is the kind of guy, he just go around, preach, you know, go to the house of sinners, eat, and drink wine. Alcoholic wine. Because it was fermented, you see. So there was some percentage of alcohol in it. And drink it with gusto. So they called him. And you know what Jesus said about that? He said, John the Baptist came, fasting and praying. You say he's mad. I now come trying to look normal, eating, drinking, and having wine. You say, behold, a wine bibber. He said, what do you want us to do? We cried, you did not play. We wept, you didn't do. He said, anyway, wisdom is justified. Oh, give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Religious people don't know God, though. They don't know God. That's why I'm not religious at all. I'm spiritual. I'm godly, but I'm not religious. Religion's definition being man's way of trying to impress God. That's what I was talking about earlier in the morning when I was talking about, you know, gold and earring. You know, the word I forgot that time was legalistic. See, a lot of people are very legalistic. Your spirituality is not determined by how much gold is on your earring. Or whether you did your hair or you did do it. Watch this. You may not wear any gold. And your hair can look like that of a mad woman. And it might be smelling. Do you understand? It won't make any more spiritual than the person who wears nice earring, does their hair nicely, and has the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit inside. What determines spirituality is the man on the inside, not the adorning on the outside. And some people think that the more haggard they look, the more spiritual that they are. Then, and they don't wear earring, and they won't do this, and they won't look nice, and they won't do this, you know. And then when they see the people who are looking nice in their heart, they say, sinner. For without holiness, and condemn some people and say they can never go to heaven because they didn't wear gold. Or because they wore gold. Or they wore something. Come on. The holiness is on the inside. You wear it, you don't wear it. It's what's on the inside that's going to determine whether you go to heaven or not. The passport to heaven is the blood of Jesus, not the wearing of gold or apparel. the virtuous woman, her clothing was gold and silver. Let's even, before I even get to verse, that's Proverbs. Let's go back to Genesis. What did Abraham's servant give to Rebecca? It was gold! Good gold! Top quality! Rebecca, the mother of the nation. Come on, folks. If it was today, why didn't Rebecca to backslide? I heard a great joke. I laughed. I'm sure I've told you before. It was Brother Yemi Ayodele and Brother Emiko that told me this joke. You know, this was back when legalism was very strong. It was, thank God for Brother Emiko, that God used to break it in IVCU and bring revelation on the gene. So, one day, Brother, we were just in the house. We were just all talking and gisting. So, he said that some of the brethren, because, you know, there's a lot of gold in heaven. I don't know if you know. The streets are gold. Everything is gold, gold, pearl, gold. Allah like, oh, my like gold. So, one of the backslide. I could not stop laughing. They said, God has backslidden. I can be, God, where you go out? Allah the backslide. That joke shows you how ridiculous legalism and religion is. Concentrate on the man on the inside. The inward adorning of a meek and quiet, right? Let it be that inward adorning. No. In the next verse. The Amplified, thank you. Let it be that hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of what? Great price. Next, give me the Amplified. Give me the Amplified, that same verse. Good. But let it be the inward adorning and the beauty of the hidden person with the incorruptible and unfading charm. This is beautiful. Of a gentle and peaceful spirit, which is not anxious or wrought up, but is very precious in the sight of God. The Amplified Bible also says, beauty is vain. Favor is deceitful, but a woman that fears God, she shall be praised. The Amplified Bible says, charm is fleeting. It will be there one day and another you go. These are the important things to God. Not all these outward things. Of course God wants you to look good. And that's why he gave us the virtuous woman. That's why he told about Rebecca. That's why he told about Sarah. Have you noticed that all those the wives of those great men of God, they were all beautiful women? I don't know if you have observed. A joke, Bell. with nice gold and looking nice, but yet they were godly women. Sarah was a godly woman. Rebecca was a godly woman. Later on, Abigail, all the great women, Esther. Whoa! Whoa! They say she was more beautiful than all the women in the kingdom. And she didn't go with all this Babylonish trinket and all of this kind. You know when a person puts too much makeup and too much jewelry, you know, where could he want? You just need something small. But when you look at it, you know it's quality. Glory to God. And then it makes you look nice and not garish. Anything that's is not God. God likes. I'm not here to talk about makeup and fashion. I think my wife can do a better job than that. Than I can know that. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, go back to John chapter 5. The Bible says, you have not seen his shape. You have neither heard his voice. So, God has a voice. Not seen. So, God has a shape. Talk to your neighbor. Say, God has a shape. And his shape is the shape that was copied to make you. So, by looking at your shape, you can see God's shape. Give the Lord a clap offering. I'm a shape. You know, don't you know that God is not a cloud floating somewhere? He is not an invisible mind. He is not some great creative force like Star Wars. You know, all these things fill the children of our minds with rubbish.
Now they said the force has been released.
They just started this Star Wars, you know. And I know, you know, I'm not, I don't fight them. You know, that's why, in the main, this is not doctrine, you know, just take it with a pinch of salt. And in the main, I hardly bother myself with science fiction. And you know why? Most of it is fiction. And a lot of it is contrary to the word of God. Sometimes you fill your mind with all kinds of rubbish, and then you have to, first of all, deprogram yourself before you can receive the word of God. That's why it's very important what you expose children to. We just got an email from from Dara and William, and said they're going to start showing Zoroaster that is not known as Santa Claus. Because Santa Claus is a fiction. It's a figment of the imagination. Going around in reindeer and flying through the sky. Now, believe in Christmas, Jesus was born. Believe in giving presents. Do you understand? Of course, you can go to Father Christmas as a child and all of that. But, you know, Father Christmas is not real. And the sooner children know that, so that in their mind, they don't think that that's what God looks like. God is not Santa. So the children be confused when they grow up. They say, I thought God was Santa. God's not Santa. Who is Santa? Santa doesn't exist. He's a figment of somebody's imagination. There used to be a saint called Nicholas, who used to help the poor. He was a real man. So they now cloned him to metamorphize it to become what we now call Santa Claus. And there's no reindeer in the sky. Fly through the sky and then he'll come through the chimney in the middle of the night and you're sleeping and then you wake up and then you see your present. It's your daddy that put it there. Tell the children the truth. And Jesus told me to give it to you at your Christmas. There is no something flying through the sky coming to the chimney. Another message for another day. You know, that's how the devil brings in all kinds of.
Okay. Each person of the Godhead. Now, before we jump to that, okay, let me say it, then I'll go back to what I want to say. Each person of the Godhead is three things. They're omnipotent, totally have all power. They are omnipresent. Their presence fills the entire universe. I'll come back to that in a minute. My physics just brought something to me, but let me go back. Then the third thing is that each of them is omniscient. Means they know everything. You know why? This is actually from what I'm about to say is from physics. But it's not just physics. It's a reality because something can easily reason out. It's so easy to understand that. You know why? They created everything. Everything came, watch this. Everything came out of God. So that planet that is 25 billion light years from the earth came out of God. So there is still a part of God that is sending a signal back to God from it. So there is nothing anywhere that does not have God's influence. So it's very easy to understand how it can be there. You know, you talk about light years, but what about God years? How fast does a light signal travel? 3 times 10 to the power 8 meters per second. So if you send a radio signal from here to the moon, it takes 4 minutes to get there, 4 minutes to come back. That's the time lag. But if it's God, and God is not moving at the speed of light, he's moving as on a far superior to signal, he can be there in an instant. So he's everywhere, every time, by the virtue of his power. Give the Lord a clap offering. I just got a text from heaven. You know what God just said? He said,
Wọ́n pè mọ̀ ní ṣẹgbẹ́ wọn. Ó rẹ̀ pẹ́gbẹ́ ni wà. In our language, that means God is not our equal. He's far. We are created beings, and He's made us in His likeness. Thank God for that. But we are nowhere. Do you know what it means to be omnipotent? All powerful, omniscient, all knowing, omnipresent, present everywhere. He said, if I go to the heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, He says, you are there. If I go beyond the sea, He says, you are there. You know why? There's this, because God made everything, there's this light that is coming out of God. It's far greater than our own light, too. Go and read Genesis chapter 1 again. You will discover that the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay? And the earth became without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. Everybody say, light one. Then you go down some days. Then he said, and God made the sun and the moon, one to rule the day and one to rule the night. Another light. Say, light two. Say, light one is superior to light two. Give the Lord a clap offering. It's not the same light. So the sunlight you are seeing and the light of your sun and on your moon is not the same one that comes out of God. So while your own is moving at 186,000 miles per second, you don't even want to know how fast God's light is moving. That's why God can be anywhere in an instant. In an instant. He wants to know something is happening somewhere. The knowledge of that place is communicated to His mind in an instant. He wants to do anything. The power to do it is available in an instant. Upholding all things by the word of His power. One check by wow. Now, language, that means He's not our equal. You know, we got so, especially because of Jesus. You know, Jesus became a man. And we see Him all the time, walking to Jairus' house and eating with us. So, you know, at your ring of him. In our language, that means we have become over familiar with Him. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. It was Pa Elton at first that He said, Jesus, Jesus. He said, if I hear Jesus from your mouth again, Jesus in Shekbe. It's the truth. Over the years, I've reprogrammed myself to say, Lord Jesus. Jesus. It's too big for your mouth. Now, there's nothing wrong with it. Don't misunderstand me. You can say, Jesus, God knows you. You know, you love Him and all that. But put the 2,000 cubits there. Lord Jesus. See, three persons. There is the Lord God, the Father. Then there is the Lord Jesus, second person. Then there is the Lord Holy Spirit. Now, let me go to the scripture I wanted to read to you. So, God is omnipotent. I would say omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. So God can be He's everywhere at the same time. Now He has His person hasn't changed. His person is still there. But there is this radiation. That's the best way I can use to describe it. There's this effulgence that comes out of Him that fills the entire universe. Far superior to any other thing He has created, far more powerful by virtue of that power. He's everywhere. So He can be sitting here now, and you see me talk to Him, shake Him, you know, talk, gist, laugh, and all that. And at the same time, He's using signals from wherever, so 25 billion light years away. And He wants to do something there. He doesn't have to do anything, just think it. And instantly something is done there. You know why? He's God. And you're not. Simple. Very simple. He's God, you're not. That is why Lucifer is such a fool. Now, he had wisdom, but his reason became corrupted. You know, when you enter rebellion and pride, you don't see straight. How can you fight that? Omnipotence. Omniscience. You see, there is no wisdom or understanding against the Lord. How can you fight that? To even think of fighting that is madness. That's why rebellion is such a foolish thing. Don't rebel against God. Where will you go? Who will be your counselor? Don't let me go there. Philippians chapter 2 verse 6. We're talking about God. The person, the presence, and the glory of God. We've been concentrating on the person of God. And we're now moving into the presence of God. But before I finish that, you know, now watch this. Who? Now, turn to your neighbor and say, which who are we talking about here? See, the second person of the Godhead. This is the great scripture in Philippians who said, you know, God, you know, Jesus, who, you know, took up himself the form of a servant. But this is the precursor. He says, who? Talking about the Lord Jesus. Being in the what? Form of God. The omnipotence, the omniscience, and all of that. Thought it what? Not robbery to be what? This scripture says that all the three persons of the Godhead are equal. So just as the Father is omnipotent, the Son is omnipotent. Just as the Son is omnipotent, the Holy Ghost is omnipotent. Just as the Son is omnipresent, the Holy Ghost is omnipresent. And the Father is omnipresent. And just as they are omniscient, knowing everything, the Father knows everything, the Son knows everything, in his godly state, and the Holy Ghost. But to fulfill the plan of redemption, this is what the Bible calls a great mystery. They did an operation. That's the best way I can explain it in the natural. Let me use a natural illustration. For example, take someone like me, for example. I use myself, so you know. And somebody does an operation on me and removes a certain part of my body. Like, for example, if you want to donate your kidney, they would open you up, they will take the kidney out. It is possible, medical doctors will confirm this, that they can even do an operation and take certain parts of the brain. It's been known to do in surgery. Recently, Jimmy Carter had some problem, you know, and they discovered some kind of cancer. It's gone now, to the glory of God. Give the Lord a clap offering. Yeah. Amen. But they had to open him up. And just in just small, you know, neurosurgery, and take a part of it out, you know, so that it wouldn't spread. And then they gave him some new drugs. And when they now did the X-ray again, they found that, you know, he was cancer-free. You know, that's the reward of a godly man at 93 years old. Another message for another day. Let our politicians learn from that. If he was Would to God, a peanut farmer from Georgia, an unknown man before, and God took him to the White House. He made some mistakes, but at the end of the day, Jimmy Carter left a legacy of righteousness. Nobody can accuse him. Adultery or stealing money, and all throughout the years he's gone all over the whole world looking and trying to help people and all of that. So when the hour came when he needed God's help, it had abounded to his account. And it's interesting, you know where he announced it? In church. A whole president of the United States of America, former president. You know what he was doing? Teaching a Sunday school class to 12-year-old children. Call on Wambu Wow. You know, if he's in Nigeria, ha! President! He will be on the front row. He was, no, his pastor was preaching. He was in the Sunday school. teaching children. Not adults, so children. Teaching them Bible class. It was children he announced it to. Because children have been praying for him. So he said, you know, when he first had the cancer, he announced it to the children. When he was now, he now said, oh, children, I have something nice to say to you. I just came back from the doctor, and they pronounced me cancer free. The children. How many Nigerian presidents will be in a church like this and go and teach the Sunday school? Or just be inside the choir like any other person? He's been a president too. Then after all of that, over the years, he just comes back to his church and serves. May God teach us humility. He's a man that's been used to seek, and secret service will be there because they have it for life. You know, but he doesn't carry all that thing to church. They'll probably be standing outside or whatever. They may be in the congregation protecting him and all of that. But he just a very simple lifestyle. May God teach us. It's a lesson Nigeria must learn. This, by the way, Pastor Wiley Elias Kaya sent something to me on the by email the other day. Talk about Nehemiah. It's chapter 5. I don't have time. Don't turn there because of time. You know how Nehemiah, he was governor. He did not eat the meat of the governor. He was the governor. He said, mm-mm. He said, there's too much burden on the people. So the food that they were serving in his house came from his own pocket. So he said, God, I don't want to, but the people are under duress and all that. I don't want to burden the people. So I will pay it out of my own pocket. Then he said, God, think on me because of the good I have done to these people. That's what God did for Jimmy Carter. He will die when his time comes, but he will go home in glory. Yeah. Woo! Give the Lord a clap offering. That's an example to all of us. Equal with God. So all the three persons of the Godhead are equal. Let's quickly move now to the glory, the presence. I've already talked about the presence really, because the person of God is always in one place. He's in heaven now. On the throne. The person of the Son is at his right hand. The person of the Holy Spirit is not in heaven. He's here. He moves around. But the presence, everyone say person, then say presence. But the presence of the Holy Spirit of God is everywhere. So that's why, if you look at the description of the book of Revelation, it's symbolic but highly significant. You will see the person of the Father. It says he sat on the throne with a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was around the throne a rainbow like unto an emerald. You see the Son, he says, I saw him, one like the Son of Man. And he had a robe round to his, and then the whole chest is gold again, full of gold, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. Where is the Holy Spirit? He's there. It says, and there were seven lamps of fire, seven spirits of God, his presence. You don't see his person. He's a person. But you don't see his presence. Person there. You see his presence there. You know why? He's the resident Lord on the earth. In this dispensation. And he's always moving all over the whole place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And sometimes he might just decide to come to scripture pasture. Oh, glory to God. But his presence is everywhere. So there's, everyone say, the person of God. And then the presence of God. Now let's move to the glory of God. And we'll close. Am I helping anybody here this afternoon? Okay. So, now, the reason why we're doing all this stuff is the glory of God is a physical manifestation. As the glory of God is a physical manifestation of his presence and power that men can see, that is physically tangible. You can see or you can taste it or you can touch it. See, the presence of God is here, but it's invisible at the moment. But there can come a time where God will choose to manifest that presence. That's what we call the glory. So the glory of God is a physical manifestation of the presence of God that's always there. The presence of God is always there. But it's not always manifest. So sometimes you just... So when Moses sees the cloud, what's that? It's a manifestation of the presence of God. The cloud in the book of Exodus, you know, and throughout, you know, the travelings of Israel, they'll see a cloud during the day. It's a manifestation of his presence. They'll see a pillar of fire at night. It's a manifestation of his presence. When Solomon dedicated the temple, the Bible says the glory of God, the cloud filled. Pastor Andrew read it last on the Christmas carol. The glory of God filled the temple, and the priest could no longer stand to minister, for the glory of God had filled the house of God. His presence has always been there, but his glory now made manifest so much you can feel it. You know why? They fell down. It's physical. It has a physical effect. When that cloud, many times when it comes to manifesting, like, people can't stand. Too much intensity. That's why people fall under. It's not this one that they the real presence, nobody has to touch you. Nobody has touched you. Power. Poof. People will just fall. They can't, you know, because the presence has come into manifestation. Then the power in manifestation. A very excellent example is Lazarus I spoke about earlier on. That's exactly what Jesus told them. Two scriptures from the book of John. You know, as I begin to round up. You know, he said, this was the beginning of miracles. And Jesus did what? Manifested forth his what? Glory. What did he do? He turned water to wine. It was a physical manifestation of God's omnipotent power. The Spirit without measure. And people saw it. The servants saw it. His mommy saw it. A few of the guests. A lot of people in the party didn't even know what happened. You know, but the people who were the servants, the people who carried the thing from when it was first water to when it became wine, they saw it. The Bible calls it the glory. So a definition of the glory of God is a physical, everybody say a physical, the glory of God, I didn't hear you, is a physical manifestation of God's presence or power that men can see physically. And that is what God wants to do now. For people like me and you, to the glory of God, who have been born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, we speak in tongues, we cast out devils, we lay hands on the sick and they recover. We've had all of those experiences. Still having them, you understand? We have the first fruits of the Spirit. We know God is there. We have the presence of God inside us. We speak in tongues. Even tongues is a manifestation of the physical manifestation of the presence of God. But it's the earnest, it's the deposit. See, I speak in tongues. I spoke in tongues this morning. You know, got up 4 o'clock in the morning, prayed, come here to service, preaching, and what I'm doing now is I'm preaching an interpretation of what I spoke in tongues in my closet. It's a higher level of tongues and interpretation. The Bible talks about diversities of operations. You know, I've been practicing it for years. So I get God's mind, and then so I don't talk from my own mind. I pray in tongues, you know, over the service. So when I now come here, I'm not talking my own talk. I'm saying what God has already deposited inside me. That's why it comes out the way it comes out. Many times there are things I say, I hear myself, I'm hearing the first time. The way I will say it. I mean, I've said it, but not said it that way before. That's how I know it's God. You know, it's a manifestation. Do you understand? But that earnest must now move to the fullness, where there will be manifestations like water to wine. manifestations like walking on water, manifestations like Lazarus being raised from the dead after 4 days. You know, that's what Jesus said. He said, did I not tell you that if you will believe, you will do what? See. The glory of God is something you can see. You will see the, and they saw it. They saw the glory of God. So that's what the Bible means when it's talking about the glory of God. And the reason is the whole earth, that's where I started with, and that's what I'm going to close with. He said, they will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. God wants to demonstrate. See, the glory in our individual lives, the tongues. For example, my wife and I just gave you some testimony now. You know, we had an issue. God did a miracle. If I didn't tell you, you wouldn't know. It was a miracle to me, a miracle to her, you know, and to the people that we sent. But who in Nigeria knows about it? Except maybe I've told you now, I even didn't tell you the details. I get healed in my body. It's a miracle to me. I know God is there, but who else knows it? Even if I tell people, some will believe, some will not. But when you begin to have, and this is where God is going, that's why this knowledge of God, the knowledge of the person, the presence, and ultimately the glory of God is going to be very, very important in the days to come. When you start, when we now move from not only physical miracles to intellectual miracles, this photographic, language learning, artistic, musical, you know, mathematical ability, political miracles, economic miracles, environmental miracles, that not just impact individuals, but impact an entire nation. When the glory cloud fills a place like the National Stadium, or even a local church like this, and you can actually come and photograph it, then everybody will shut up. That is where God is going. He wants to demonstrate, manifest His glory to this generation. He started on the inside. The kingdom of God has a principle. It always starts inside. He said the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Nobody will say, here it is, there it is, but it is within you. Luke chapter 17. But then you find that when it first, after it has come inside, then later on it will come on the outside. In Pentecost, on Easter Sunday, Jesus said, pff, pff. He breathed on them, pff, received the Holy Ghost, but nothing. The only people who knew were the people who were there. But on the day of Pentecost, what was on the inside now showed up on the outside. When Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, the Spirit of God came upon him. This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased, but nothing. Then 40 days later, over 40 days, not 40, but over 40 days later, then it turned water to wine. So it is now. We already have the earnest. We already, inside, we already have the first fruits. The first fruits is not going to save our generation. The first fruits is not going to dispel the gross darkness. It is the glory of God that will be seen upon us. Then kings will come to the brightness of our rising, and we dispel the current darkness that we're faced in. So it behoves you and I to know God. For they that know God will be strong, and they will do exploits. Know His person, know His presence, and know His glory. Let us pray. Know His person, know His presence, and then show forth His glory. Move away from the religion. This superficial, childish knowledge of God. God is not a cloud. He's not a lamb. He's not a dove. All those are just symbolic representations of just limited aspects of his character. God is a person. Three persons. Omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. And by virtue of his power, his presence fills the entire universe. And by coming in you in full measure, he can manifest his glory to men around, so that men will shut up. I love that scripture. To put to silence forever the ignorance of fools. That's why they're arguing now and talking rubbish. Yeah.